Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground.
Happy spring, and welcome to the Garden Goddess Show. I'm Donna Smith, a new radio host here on WDRT Radio. I'm not totally new to the station. You may have heard my annual Christmas shows on the Sunday Free Space, or perhaps my most recent Free Space program of Irish music that I did with a few of my girlfriends just before St. Patrick's Day. Well, welcome to my first garden show. I'll tell you a little bit about me and fill you in on what I have in store for upcoming shows. I'm a professional horticulturist and a fly fisherman. My grandfather and my aunt both inspired my love of plants, and my parents encouraged me to go camping and learn to enjoy the outdoors, which I totally did. Eventually, that led to my career as a horticulturist at the Morton Arboretum, located just outside of Chicago, Illinois. It's a 1,700-acre tree museum, and I worked there for over 20 years. I love to watch plants grow, and I love to help people plant those plants and watch them grow as well. I cared for a wide variety of plants, trees, shrubs, perennials, and annuals. At the Arboretum, I also got a chance to teach classes and answer visitor questions about anything and everything plant-related at the Arboretum's plant clinic. I really enjoyed those activities, which was my motivation to ask to do this garden show on WDRT. My husband PJ and I started to fly fish, which is what brought us here to the Driftless area about 30 years ago. I can't believe it's been that long already. But we moved here permanently in 2021, and I was working remotely at that time in customer service from our home. I no longer work remotely and recently joined the staff at Deep Rooted Organics outside of Westby. And I help PJ run PJ's guide service, his fly fishing business. So in a nutshell, that's me. Now let's talk about the show. I'm going to cover a variety of topics, and depending on time, I'll include some or all of the following segments. The Tool Shed will be a discussion about favorite tools or those needed for upcoming tasks. The Bookshelf is a time to share great gardening books and resources. The Garden Cart is a time when I'd like to answer garden questions from listeners. So if you have those questions, please email them to gardening@wdrt.org. And the Garden Journal is my reminder to you of tasks that need to be done in the upcoming months. Lastly, so that you don't have to listen to me talk every month, I'd like to have a garden guest, and we'll call that segment Patio Talk. So let's look at what's in the tool shed this month. I want to talk to you about getting tools ready for the garden season and those needed for garden cleanup. If you haven't yet cleaned your garden tools for the upcoming season, now is a great time to get that done. Take advantage of these warmish days to get that wrapped up. Wash or brush off any caked on dirt, dry thoroughly, and then wipe on a light coat of oil to keep them from rusting. Put a sharp edge on your shovels and your spades, as well as the blades on loppers and hand pruners if you haven't done that recently. You want to have everything ready to go when it's time to get out into the garden. For spring cleanup, you're going to need some items such as a leaf rake, a hard rake, and something for cutting down perennials. One year when I was working at the Arboretum, I learned to love this tool for its ability to make my spring cleanup easier, and that's a hedge clipper. I don't use it to clip hedges, and I'm sure at some point in time we'll get into that topic, but I use it to make the task of cutting down perennials much easier. I like one with a long handle for better reach, and the long blades get under the plants that have gotten mashed down from the winter snow. Slide the blades in under the foliage and cut low. Use your leaf rake to rake out the debris, and then go back in and snip anything off that you've missed. Makes the cleanup so much quicker and easier that way. Collecting and hauling away that debris that you're cutting can be done with some of my other favorite garden tools, such as a large collapsible bucket. I love these because they store easily by hanging them on the wall in your garage or your shed, and they don't take up a lot of room. If you don't have that, a 5-gallon bucket works really well. And a tarp will haul debris to your compost pile. Just pile everything on and drag it across the lawn to the corner where you keep your compost, and makes for easy cleanup. Years ago, my mom gave me a set of leaf scoops. I've also seen them called leaf claws. And at first, I thought that they were the most gimmicky thing for the garden. But once I started using them, they turned out to be quite an asset. And I had taken them to work, and everybody was using them, so they got a few pairs of those leaf scoops to have in our tool room so that other people could use them as well. So they really did turn out to be a great asset for cleaning up the garden. I think that plants that grow on your property should stay there when you're done cleaning up. Leaves and other yard waste, as we refer to it, can be used to make great compost or mulch for your garden. You can chop it up using things like pruners, hedge clippers, lawn mowers, or a small garden chipper. The nutrients from that material as it breaks down is beneficial to your garden, so use it under trees or shrubs or as mulch in the garden paths in your vegetable garden, for instance. It's a great way to better utilize the organic material rather than putting it in a yard waste bag or dumpster or paying to have it hauled away. Next up, I'd like to take a look at what's on the bookshelf this month. One that recently inspired me, and I think it was also part of the impetus for wanting to create a gardening show, is a book by Douglas Ptolemy called The Nature of Oaks, The Rich Ecology of Our Most Essential Native Trees. He takes you through, month by month, the life of an oak, pointing out how oak trees support more life forms than any other forest species. They really are quite amazing trees and can be so beautiful in your landscape, or, you know, driving down the road and seeing these big majestic oaks. It's just awesome. The American Gardener, which is the magazine of the American Horticulture Society, was quoted as saying, "With our hearts and minds focused on the stewardship of the only planet we have, the best way to engage in a hopeful future is to plant oaks. Let this book be your inspiration and guide." I hope that this book will inspire you to treasure these trees as it did me. After reading it, I hope to nurture and protect those that live on my property, and I hope to plant a few more as well. Moving on to the next segment of our show, the Garden Cart. I'm going to answer garden questions here. I encourage you to send in your questions that I can then answer on the air. Email those to gardening@wdrt.org. For my first show, I got a few questions from friends. I hope that you'll reach out if you do have questions. I'm happy to answer those in future programs. It'll give me some content, so please do so. Here are a few questions from my friends who are gardeners. Paul sent me a picture of a spruce tree that was dropping a large amount of cones and asked if there was something wrong with the tree. No, Paul, nothing wrong with this one. Many conifers produce cones on a 2-year cycle. Those cone buds are produced the first year and then they mature into cones the second year. Stress due to environmental factors, such as high temperatures and drought, can cause an abundance of buds to be formed, resulting in that large amount of cones to develop. The second year as they mature, they'll dry out, open, and drop their seeds in the fall and winter. Once this happens, the cones begin to drop. That's what you're seeing now. Many conifers also exhibit a pattern of biennial cone bearing, which can also contribute to the abundance of cones that form in the upper third of the tree. They'll be really heavy one year, and then few or none the next. Leave those cones to decompose, return nutrients to the soil. If you have a compost, you can rake them and add them as a layer of brown to your compost pile. Great question, Paul. Thanks. The next question comes from Charlene, and she asks, when can I prune my crabapple tree? If your purpose is structural pruning, then you can prune your crabapple tree now. A good time to prune for most trees and shrubs is from late fall through winter and before the plant leaves out in the spring. The plants are dormant at this time, which means they aren't actively growing. Pruning is most easily done when there are no leaves on the branches, which makes it much easier to see the branching structure and what you need to prune out. Start with the broken, crossing, and the rubbing branches first. If you're trying to enhance flowering on this spring blooming plant, then wait until the flowers fade this spring and then prune your tree. Otherwise, you'll be pruning off a lot of the flower buds. Crabapples are one of those trees that develop a lot of suckers or water sprouts. They're really visible now and are characterized by small branches that just are growing vertically off of larger branches. They're just going straight up in the air. And those water sprouts and suckers can be removed at any time of year, but are easiest now when the plant is dormant and has no leaves blocking your view. Good pruning skills, those are worth working on. I have many pruning books, and one good reference that I would recommend is Cass Turnbull's book called Guide to Pruning: What, When, Where, and How to Prune for a More Beautiful Garden. It's a very comprehensive book that teaches you how to look at the plants and how they grow in order to make sense of why and how we should prune them. She has really good lists of all the plants and how and when to prune those. So you should find most plants included here or something similar so that you can determine the best pruning method for the plants that are in your garden. Pruning tools are key to keeping your plants healthy and looking good also. So keep your tools sharp. For all of my pruning, I like a bypass blade hand pruner and a bypass lopper, and a small folding handsaw. I like the folding saws because they fit in your back pocket. As I'm working around the garden, I always have something handy. And having been a horticulturist, I put my Felco hand pruners into a little scabbard that hangs off the belt so that I'm always carrying those around as well, because there's always something to snip in the garden as you're walking around. So thanks for that question, Charlene, about pruning. As I mentioned, this is a good time to prune most plants. Those that you would want to wait on would be your spring flowering shrubs, like forsythias and lilacs. If you prune now, you'd be pruning off the flower buds. The lack of snow cover right now makes it easier to get out and prune small trees and shrubs. Most plants benefit from the dormant pruning. Use a good pruning resource book, like Cass Turnbull's that I mentioned, and there are many others. Check the library, check with your local garden center if you have a specific question about plants in your yard. And you can always send those in here to me as well. Next, I want to talk about my garden journal. I started to keep a garden journal about plants that I was planting and activities that I was doing in the garden. And it's nice and handy. You can use a calendar. You can buy a fancy garden journal. You can use a 3-ring binder or a spiral notebook, anything that, you know, you can put it on your computer, all kinds of ways to keep track of things. And notes in my garden journal indicate that this is about the time in the past that I've gotten out on nice days to start my garden cleanup. Maybe it's just picking up dead branches from the lawn or raking the debris from the grass that accumulated there over the winter. Every little bit helps before things really get going when it warms up for good. As you're driving out and about, you might start to notice some areas where prescribed burning is taking place. Burning is an effective management tool used in woodlands, prairies, and grasslands. Burning removes old vegetation to make room for new growth, and it aids in returning nutrients to the soil, which can help promote healthy plant growth. So when you see people out there doing that, some will be during the morning, might be late in the evening. That's what they're doing, and it's a great practice in many areas. As we move into April and the weather warms up, here are some suggestions for garden tasks for you to think about. One, be observant of the plants in your garden. Check plants for winter damage, salt damage. You can prune off the dead tips, broken branches now to clean them up before they start leafing out. Check shallow-rooted perennials that may have heaved out of the ground. Ease them back down and give them a layer of mulch to protect the roots and crown of the plant. As the soil is warming up and is no longer frozen, the water is able to soak in, so you might need to water trees and shrubs, especially evergreens, if we don't start getting a little bit more moisture. We've had a pretty dry winter, and we're in a bit of a drought, so keeping plants watered, especially those that were newly planted last year, can be essential for their growth. Be mindful not to overwater at any time of the year. Check by digging in the soil. And even mature landscape plants need plenty of mulch and water to stay healthy. So don't forget about those trees and shrubs in your garden as well. Another task for this month is replenishing mulch around trees and shrubs. You want to replenish that to about a depth of 3 to 4 inches and make sure you keep it away from the trunks of the trees. The mulch doesn't benefit the tree by being up on the trunk. It only creates a lot of moisture on the bark and can invite pests that can do damage to your tree. So kind of pull that away from the trunk itself, and then just make that a nice even 3 or 4 inches all the way around, about out to the drip line of the tree. But if you have very, very large trees, you might not want your whole entire front yard to be mulch, but you know, give it a number of, you know, several feet away from the trunk will give you a nice layer to benefit the tree. Around perennials, 1 to 2 inches of mulch is about all you need. You don't want to bury them either. And the mulch is going to help conserve moisture and keep the weeds at bay. I like mulch that decomposes and adds organic matter to improve the soil tilth and can add nutrients back into the soil. Other added benefits are prevention of soil compaction, erosion control, and keeping the soil temperature cooler in the hot summer days. And it also really just looks really nice. I recommend things like wood chips, shredded bark, compost, or composted manure. You can use a layer of newspaper underneath your mulch to help with weed control. And the newspaper will also decompose over time. And if you can't get enough newspaper, you can use cardboard. And you can also purchase paper landscape barriers. I don't recommend the black plastic because it doesn't allow air to move through, and will eventually, any compost or mulch that's on top of that plastic will start to decompose and create soil, and then you have weeds growing on top of that plastic. So I don't usually recommend that in a shrub bed, you know, shrubs, perennial border, anything like that, or the landscape fabric for some of those garden situations. I'd reserve those materials for your vegetable garden if you choose to use them, because you're going to be picking that up every year when you're done with your vegetable garden, but it will help warm up the soil for some of the plants that do need it a little bit warm to get going. And for those of you that start plants indoors, it's that time again. Cool season vegetables can be planted outside even when frosts or freezes are still expected. You'll need to get those plants started so that they're ready when the weather is right for planting outside. When you are looking at your garden around your house, have you thought about what you liked or didn't like in your garden last year? Are there new plants you want to try? Now would be a really good time to plan what you want to plant in your garden this year. Maybe you already have a plan, or maybe you don't. But start thinking about it so you can obtain the plants and get them in the ground when the time is right. That way you'll enjoy a beautiful garden all summer. And you can get help from landscaping books that you can find at the library. The garden centers will have suggestions for you. Going out and just looking at the plants is pretty nice to just get an idea of what you'd like. If you're a new homeowner and you haven't had a spring in your house, I usually recommend that you kind of go through a season and see what's coming up in your yard. You know, the previous homeowner may have planted a bunch of bulbs already, or there might be, you know, some perennials that are going to come up. And if you've never had a spring in your house, you don't know what's there. So instead of really tearing into the garden right away, give it a season so you can see what you have. The last segment that I want to include is called Patio Talk, and that would be having a guest for my shows. And since I don't have a guest, I'm going to share some information about some trees with you. I was having a discussion at work the other day, and we were talking about all the plants that we were planting, a lot of annuals that we were potting up. And I said, when I was working at the Arboretum, it's a museum of woody plants. So we were around thousands of trees and shrubs, and all the people on our crew, we would start to talk about what our 10 most favorite trees were. So I want to share those with you today. First is the ginkgo tree, Ginkgo biloba. I love it for its unique leaves and that beautiful golden yellow fall color. And another unique thing about ginkgos is, in most cases, that tree turns yellow all at the same time, and then all the leaves fall down, and then you have this beautiful yellow carpet on the ground underneath. There was a picture floating around on Facebook, I think, that showed a tree in China, and it was just huge, and then that yellow carpet underneath just made that area glow. So they're pretty cool, and that shape is just so unique. Oaks are my next favorite. I like swamp white oaks, bur oaks, and chinkapin oaks, which has a very unique leaf shape to it as well. And oaks are just awesome, and I hope to plant some more in my yard as well, and make room for those small ones that are growing in our woods. Another tree I really like is white pine. When those get to be big, this majestic full-size tree, they're just so beautiful. The needles on them are soft and just an awesome plant. Sweet gum is another one with a unique leaf shape and has a small fruit on it that is real spiky. We used to use those for decorations. For wintertime, we'd collect them at the Arboretum and use them in decorations that we were doing. The little fruits dry real hard, almost like a cone, but they're a little round ball, and just a beautiful tree, has wonderful fall color, and again, just a really great leaf shape that's just real different. Going back to the evergreens, I really like the Servian spruce. The needles on it are fairly soft. It's just got a beautiful shape. Another great evergreen for the garden. Maples are always a favorite. Love the fall color that we get here in the Driftless from the maples on the hillsides. And maples of all types have great fall color. I like the paper bark maple, Acer griseum, which has this beautiful chestnut color bark. And it's kind of peely, and in the wintertime adds a lot of interest in the garden with that beautiful bark color. Service berries, amelanchiers, are a great four-season plant. You get beautiful flowers in the spring. It's got glossy foliage all summer. It has berries in the fall. The birds love the berries. They are edible. My tree would usually mature. The fruit would mature about the time we were going away for a weekend, and I'd munch on a few of those berries, and then by the time we got home, by the end of the weekend, the birds will have stripped that tree clean. It was amazing. But those berries are really beautiful as well, and it has great fall color. So if you're looking for a great four-season plant for your garden, service berries are it. You just can't beat all of the seasonal interest on that tree. I'm also a big fan of red buds. In our area here, you have to be really careful to get, there is a strain of red bud that's the Minnesota strain that was developed by the University of Minnesota, and it's a little bit hardier. They can be pretty finicky, again, great leaf shape on that, beautiful flowers in the spring, and if you've got a spot in your yard that's a little more protected, that can be a great plant. I was at a friend's garden last year, the year before, and she has a big, beautiful red bud in her yard, and the birds were just loving it there, so great plant. Another evergreen I like is the concolor fir, AB's concolor. It's got these blue-gray needles. They're kind of long and soft, and just the overall shape and color of that plant is really beautiful, adds a pop in the landscape. So another one of my favorites. And lastly would be Dawn Redwood. And I like this plant. It's a beautiful tree, gets really big. It's a deciduous conifer, so it has this feathery, needle-like foliage that will turn a beautiful kind of rust color in the fall, and then those feathery leaves drop to the ground. But one of the most fun things about this plant is its scientific name, Metasequoia glyptostroboides. Could you get a better name than that? So that rounds out my top 10 trees. I'd like to end my show with a garden quote from Marcus Tullius Cicero. If you have a garden and a library, you have everything you need. So I hope you have a great time gardening this next month and going forward. Thanks for joining me today. I have enjoyed spending this time with you. Please join me next month for another discussion about gardening and plants. Have a wonderful day. Let's go out and make our world a little more beautiful, one plant at a time.